You know, as we go to prayer this morning and going to God's Word, I'm trusting God, and I've been praying all week, and it's been on my heart for months now that we need to be getting a hold of God's heart. Amen. There's so much going on in our lives that distract us. So many things that are happening that can discourage us and move us away from God. And this morning, when I was thinking about this all week, and when I was praying this morning, that, you know, what we really need is to get a hold of God's heart. What we need is to have an encounter with God. What we need is to have something out of the ordinary happening. And I'm not talking about praying for like a generic prayer that you would give a young child to teach him how to pray for a meal. I'm talking about having an encounter with God, knowing that you've been in His presence enough that would bring you to your knees and know that you've been with the Lord, and that's what we need. That society today doesn't need more to do on Sunday morning. They have plenty to do on Sunday morning. And so what I'm saying is, we gather together, we need to experience God. We need to see God in His mercy and His grace meet us where we're at. Amen. Just let's one more time just go to prayer before we hear the word today. Father, we sense your presence. We sense what you're wanting to do in our lives. And Lord God, we're opening up our hearts to you this morning, desiring for you to minister to us in a fresh way. As an individual, as a church, as a community of believers, as a community that wants to reach out to this community, we're asking, Lord God, that we need your strength, your anointing, and your blessing to be able to do that. Every aspect of our life, we need you in it. And when we don't have you in it, there's a void. There's a lacking. And Lord God, this morning, as we go to your word, I'm asking that you would fall fresh on each one of us. Encourage those that are down. Strengthen those that are weak. Show light where we feel like we're in darkness. May you accomplish it all in our lives today. In Jesus' name, amen. If we could only realize the battle that people have coming to church on Sunday morning, amen. I'm not talking just about ours. I'm talking about the church universal. There is a battle that goes on every morning, and we think that we're the only ones going through it. And you know, I think of the single mom that has three kids, and they're all giving her a hard time. They're all fighting them to get there, and they're all saying, "I'm tired, I'm tired, I'm tired." But 5 minutes after 12, they're renewed strength. And they're back in the game, and those that the sibling fights that go on Sunday morning, and the adult arguments that go on, and the obstacles that usually just take us to defeat us rather than encourage us, and before we even get started, some are struggling. And then I think of the church universal that has young people. They're praying for a child, and then sometimes coming to church is tough because they see young children there and they're wondering where God is, why they can't have children. There's husband and wives that are putting on the face and talking about divorce behind closed doors. There's people talking about getting husband and wives. Teenagers fighting with their parents because of what they're taught at home and then what they see in the world. And they're struggling. If we'd only know the battles that are going on, the father that stays home and lets the mom raise the child. And then all of this, the devil isolates us to make us think, and you know what I'm talking about, that you're the only one going through this. There's nobody else. If you were just a good Christian, you wouldn't be going through this stuff. If we only knew the struggles that were going on, it would draw us to our knees. If we only knew the struggles that were going on in our lives and realized that the spiritual battle that God is fighting for us, it would draw us to our knees and bring praise to our lips. If we would only, as we come into this building that we call church, realize God can set us free. God can do amazing things. When our hearts are just open and allow God to do that, when we decide that we're going to come with a heart of worship, even though all the things going on around us don't look like we should be worshiping. Each one of us come to this building for different reasons, different expectation, different levels of spiritual awakeness, and in different levels of what's going on in our lives. And some this morning can sing praise, and some are just crying out to God, "Where are you?" Yet we're all here. Yet we're all wanting God to do something here, now. And we call that worship, and we wonder sometimes, and as a church, if we would just understand that once the music begins to play and they close the doors back there, it's a time to enter into worship. It's a time to try to lay aside all the things that are going on in our lives so that we could hear from God, so that we could have that supernatural moment where a supernatural God touches and ministers to us as human beings. If we would only understand and allow God to do that, we would see so many things go on. If we would understand that worship is not an event. Do you understand that this morning? Worship is not an event. It's a relationship. It's a time that we just give back to God what He deserves. And it extends past what we're going through. It extends past what we're asking God to do. It extends past all of these things that we just give our hearts and our lives back to God. If we do more crying out than complaining, we'd see God do some mighty things. Say amen or oh me, but it fits. True worship this morning is more than what happens on Sunday morning. You should come with a heart of worship. You should come ready to receive, believing as you open those doors that God has something for you. God has something to say to you, that you're not going to leave here without God ministering to you in some way. If you realize this morning that it's not just Sunday morning, but that you need to be corporately together so that corporately we lift up praise to God. Corporately we encourage each other, and we go out of here and realize that it's 24/7. If you only are hearing God's word on Sunday morning, you're starving to death 6 days a week. Worship will only change your life if it doesn't become mechanical and forced. Can you say amen to that? Worship will only change your life if it's a lifestyle. When you're coming to God on a daily basis, pushing through those hard times, pushing past those circumstances, pushing back when you don't even feel like it, and God takes you to the new realm, into another part of your life where your heart is not only broken because of circumstance, but now it's broken and you experience God, and God begins to heal. Somebody should say amen. Jeremiah 29:11 says, "For I know the plans I have for you, plans to prosper you and to not harm you, plans to give you a hope and a future." Do you understand what that means today to us? God has a plan for you. God cares what's going on in your life. God does not turn His back on you. He has your best interests. God will not abandon you in hard times. We have the potential of seeing a supernatural God operate in our lives, corporately and individually. I like what Richard Foster says this, and I'll just read one little paragraph. Worship is our response to the overtures of love from the heart of the Father. It is kindled within us only when the Spirit of God touches human spirit. Our spirit must be ignited by a divine fire. Isn't that good? We can try to pump ourselves up. You know, I remember the sports days. You pump yourself up. You jack each other up so that when you get to the game, you do it. And we kind of need that when we enter into church, because sometimes every obstacle happens, and just getting out the door is a victory. coming in this door is another victory. And you got to understand when we push through that God does amazing things. When God's Spirit touches our spirit, things happen. It'll lead us to worship. When human touches the supernatural, we realize and experience worship. You know what we need? You know what you need? You know what I need? We need an encounter with God. We need to experience God again. I remember those moments are so, you don't forget those encounters where you know that you know that you know that God was in it, that God spoke to you. He ministered to you. His anointing fell fresh on you. No one can steal that unless you let go of it and you allow the circumstances to steal it. Then all of a sudden the joy that the Lord gave you seems to be sucked out of your life and all you have left is the circumstances in front of you. But unless you return back to God and have an encounter with God and refilled by His Spirit ministering to us, we live in that realm way lower than what God wants for us. So what does God say about worship, and what can we do to worship, and what can part does worship play with us in our lives? Psalm 100, I believe, gives us a great peek into worship. Psalm 100, verses 1 to 5 says, "Shout for the joy to the Lord, all the earth. Worship the Lord with gladness. Come before Him with joyful songs. Know that the Lord is God. It is He who made us, and we are His people, the sheep of His pasture. Enter His gates with thanksgiving and His courts with praise. Give thanks to Him and praise His name, for the Lord is good and His love endures forever. His faithfulness continues throughout all generations." It's great to sing these songs, and sometimes we even get jacked up. But unless you're going to live that, unless you're going to have a relationship with the Lord that is not going to be denied by circumstances, it's entering into His presence, it's bringing thanksgiving and praise, it's giving Him all the things that are going on in your life, it's recognizing who God is for what He's already done, and not just coming to a God, and we talked about it in Sunday school, coming to a God with only your problems and entering in. Thanking Him for what He's already done, believing that what your best interest, the plan that He has for you is going to be done. It's not fitting God into your schedule, but making sure God is in your schedule all times. It's not, okay, I got a moment here, God, I'm going to throw You in. It's making out the schedule first with God in it and then realizing what else is going on. When you do this, you realize that worship is 24/7. And no matter what you're going through, you realize it's not all about you, but it's all about Him. Worship becomes a response to God. Amen? The worship team is not here to entertain you. They're here this morning wanting you to enter into worship, to have you respond to what God is saying and taking you into worship, entering into His gates with praise and thanksgiving. I realize He can do it in a variety of ways. Some are waving their hands, some are clapping, some are standing, some are sitting. You can do it in all kinds of ways. Some are sitting, not saying a word, but entering in. Isn't it great that God gives us a freedom to be able to do that? But it's entering in. He's saying, enter in. I don't care how you do it, but enter in. Worship becomes that response. It's the only way that I know when I read stories like Corrie Ten Boom sitting in a flea-infested concentration camp but still worshiping God. It's the only way that I can see that persecuted Christians every day having to live out their faith, knowing that they could lose their lives. It's the only way that I know that they could worship is by doing these things. It's the only way that somebody with a terminal illness can still be praising God. It's because they've entered in, amen? They've entered into God's presence. They've entered in and realized that it's not all about them, but it's all about Him. It's realizing that they're worshiping an eternal God that loves them. And this is not all there is. What they're going through now is temporary. And it's hard for people to understand that. Sometimes we just need to stop the merry-go-round. Do you understand me this morning? Sometimes we just need to stop the merry-go-round and say, Lord, with your help, I'm going to get off this ride because I don't like it. And with your help, I will be able to get off of it. To allow God to take a negative and make it a positive. Allow God to take a bad situation and make it better. To allow God to give you the strength for people that have tore you down and destroyed you if they could. And you center in on God. You center in on what He wants. You center in and focus your life on Him. You center your life on the eternal things, not on the horn blowers. Anybody besides me just get annoyed when somebody's behind you and the light changes and within 4 seconds, they're jamming on the horn and blowing it. Move on. Everything's got to be so fast. The yellers who cannot stand it. And I'm preaching at you yelling. So the yellers, not me, those other people. Yelling all the time. Sometimes I wonder if they could say one thing without yelling. The people who cannot complete a sentence without cursing the Lord that you love. Taking God's name in vain. Ridiculing your faith. Dressing down the importance of God. Godly, life-changing worship takes place when you don't feel like worshiping and you push through. I guarantee there's a blessing on the other side of that. When you push through, when you realize that God, there's not one joyful bone in my body, but I'm still coming to you. And allowing you to do it. Because then worship becomes more than a song. Do you understand? Worship songs are great. Worship songs can lift you up. Worship songs encourage you. But if it stops there and it doesn't take you into the presence of God, it's short-lived. It's only a moment. It's to me, it's like Beatlemania. It is. Because what happened? They enjoyed the songs, but pretty soon they were worshiping the singers. And it didn't lead them to God, did it? Elvis, people throwing themselves, fainting, and all these other things that go on, Michael Jackson, and we could just give a list of people that have sung a song and taken people to worship, but it's not of God. I'm saying this morning that if you're going to worship God and you're going to allow a song to take you to worship, I'm telling you the end result has to be God. And it has to take you into a realm of worship where God can minister to you. We can worship things and people like the world is trying to direct us to, or we can take ordained worship that God is pleased with, and that's a moment where the supernatural comes into our hearts and our lives, and the human spirit is ministered to by the Heavenly Father. Amen. Should be some amens there. Worthy is the Lamb, the Word says, who was slain to receive honor and glory and praise. And the Scripture says, and the elders fell down. We need a little more of that. We need to fall down in the presence of God. We need to administer to allow ourselves to not worry about anybody else. You know what I'm saying this morning? You feel like raising your hand, raise your hand. You feel like saying amen, say amen. Allow God to minister to you. Revelation 4, verses 4 to 10, or 8 to 10, I'm sorry. I'll get there. Starting at verse 8. Each of the four living creatures had 6 wings and was covered with eyes all around. Even under his wings, day and night, they never stopped saying, "Holy, holy, holy is the Lord God Almighty, who was and is to come." Whenever the living creatures give glory, honor, and thanks to him who sits on the throne and who lives forever and ever, the 24 elders fell down before him who sits on the throne and worshiped him who lives forever and ever. They laid their crowns before the throne and said, "You are worthy, our Lord and God, to receive glory and honor and power, for you created all things, and by your will they were created and have their being." Amen. That's worship. That's the realm that we need to allow God to take us where the supernatural is ministering to us. In heaven, do you understand, there will be worship. Amen. There will be worship. Now, some, they want to say, I don't believe that 24/7 we're going to be worshiping like the cherubims, yelling out, "Holy, holy, holy," but there's going to be worship. And we're going to be in the presence of God, and we're going to allow God to minister to us. And I'm telling you, if you can't worship God here, heaven is not going to be nice to you, because there will be worship and God will be glorified and the name of Jesus will be lifted up. And if you separate yourself from him now in worship, he will not force you to spend eternity worshiping. Amen. Because there will be worship in heaven, because his name's going to be lifted up. So worship ordained by God is praise and honor and reverence given back to the Creator for what he's done for us. So very quickly, how can we live our lives and bring honor and glory to God? And how can we, in the midst of our circumstances, keep praise on our lips? Going back to my examples, instead of yelling at that horn blower, say a prayer for them and realize that we don't know what they're up against. We don't know what their day or their week or their month or their year has looked like. And instead of yelling back at them, saying a prayer, "God, I lift them up to you and pray that you would minister to them." And that person that just cut you off or cut you with his words, asking God to give you the strength to live the life of Christ and be pleasing. And that even though every part of you at times wants to lash out, you're asking God to use you. And instead of shutting down, you know what I'm talking about. A lot of us have shut down when people have cut us that deep. Asking God to still use us. And where the devil has stolen from you, determined that he will steal no more. That you're going to ask God's help. Worship is not for the weak. Do you hear me this morning? Worship is not for the weak. People that want to say religion is a crutch, man, they don't have Jesus. Because religion isn't a crutch. Worship is not for the weak. Because there are some supernatural things that take place in worship. There's supernatural things that take place in prayer. There's supernatural events that happen when you're walking and you're asking God to give you the words for that person coming up to you because you know that they need a word from the Lord. It's not for the weak. In worship, we respond to God and focus on God. Amen? Most struggle with worship because it's not built in. That doesn't come naturally. Can you say amen to that? It doesn't come naturally. It's got to be intentional. And it's got to be staying focused. Most of the time, the circumstances squeeze that right out of us. And I realize we can worship in a park. We can worship on a boat. We can worship in the forest. We can worship fishing. But sometimes we just need corporate worship. And when you don't participate in corporate worship, you miss. When you miss on a Sunday, that may be the very word that God had for you. And we can draw strength from corporate worship. God responds to prayer and praise, not because he has to, but that he desires to, that he wants to, and he wants to minister to each one of us. The way I see worship, the ordained worship that God is pleased with, it's not manipulation. It's not only coming to God. And like I said, they talked about it this morning in Sunday school. It's not only coming to God when you need something. It's coming to God to thank him for what he's already done. And entering into that worship that as a believer It is not about just having these magical words that you say. If you need this, you say this. If you want this, you do this. Though I will tell you, in Jesus' name is pretty magical. There is power in the name of Jesus to change lives. It's our heart, it's our mind, it's our soul telling God, you have all of me. God knows our hearts. That's why we can't fake it. Say amen to that. You can't fake God knows where you're at. You can't fake that. He knows when you're hurting. He knows when you're discouraged. He knows when you're just playing the motions. He knows everything about it. That's why some will not be forced to endure heaven when they can't praise here on earth, because it's a heart thing. Worship. I think it's kind of like a sponge, and I'll wrap this up here. I think it's kind of like a sponge. We want God to do all these things, and he tells us that we're to surrender him, and I just picture God wanting to squeeze out all the things in our lives to get them out. And sometimes I think that's a little painful, because God's saying, yes, I want you to surrender these things. And he begins to squeeze some of these things out. And I believe sometimes, how can I say it? We have in our empty-headedness sometimes, we get everything squeezed out sometimes and we don't let nothing in. But at the time that God is squeezing these things out, he wants to fill us to overflowing. He wants to take that void, and he wants the Holy Spirit to begin to work in our lives, taking the things out and filling it with Christ-likeness. I believe we call that worship. It's realizing in the areas of our life that we've not given to God, whether it be family, finances, work, our past, our present, our future. And when we do that, when we allow ourselves to be emptied and be filled by God, we call that worship. God's still in the miracle business. Amen to that. God still wants to do these miracles. We keep reading about them in the Bible like that was the old God, but the new God just wants us to just exist. God still does miracles. God still desires to work in people's life. God is still the same yesterday, today, and forever. And we say to God, here's what most do. We say to God, here's what I'm doing, now bless it. And God says, do my will, and I'll bless it. That's worship. So this morning, I just want to close us in prayer, and we're going to go to communion in just a minute. But here's my prayer. Be specific. Pray that God would bless you, intervene in your life, that you would have an encounter with God far beyond the now I lay me down to sleep kind of prayers, but enter into where God would do something amazing. You need a healing. Ask God for a healing and ask God for whatever you're needing this morning. But then also in the same breath, be saying, God, thank you for what you've already done. Thank you for ministering to me. Amen. Father, this morning, we can talk about worship, but we need to experience worship. We need your Holy Spirit to fall fresh on each and every one of us. We know this world steals joy, but you're the giver of joy. We know this world just drains us of every bit of strength. And when we're weak, you can make us strong. Help us, Lord God, as a church, individually, as a family, to worship. To come when those doors close, to just take that moment and allow you to minister to us. Forgetting grocery lists, forget what we have to do at 1 o'clock, forget what's going on in our workplace, but just centering in on you, Lord God. Allowing you to fall fresh on us, We need it so bad. We're so dry that we need you to anoint and empower us for the days and weeks ahead. Asking you, Lord God, to squeeze out some of the things in our lives. And we know that's painful. But Lord God, I'm also asking that believers be filled to overflowing with your Spirit. That we would be Christ-like in our workplace, in our schools, in our homes. That you would direct our paths, Lord God. In Jesus' name. Amen.